Blog Talk Radio.
And a pleasant good evening to you. Once again, you're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, MD Washington. Want to thank you again for joining tonight as we continue to share more of the Word of God with each and every one of you. And we're just excited and glad that you have the opportunity, as I do, to come together and to look in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to settle upon our hearts, that we may have power to exercise wisdom and understanding as God leads. We pray that He will empower us to do more for Him than ever before. And so we're living in this time where it is important for you and I that we get a little closer to the Master, because as we press in closer to Him, we'll find that He will instruct us, give us wisdom and knowledge beyond our years. And so I'm praying that you who have decided to stop in and to indulge yourself in the Word of God with me, I just want to say we appreciate you for your listenership. We appreciate you for your support. And we just have going to have a Holy Ghost time here tonight. And, of course, I want to share with you some very, very great news. Since last time we were on the air, God has blessed the Bible Coach, and now he will be pastoring a church over in West Fort Worth. And, of course, details are forthcoming. We are going to be operating and we have a church called the Training Ground Ministry. Training Ground Ministry. The Bible Coach will be at the Training Ground Ministry, and that's going to be our ministry. And we'll be sharing the Word of God right there. We're going to have some seminars on finances, seminars on health, seminars on youth and women's issues we'll be dealing with, men's issues. And so we're just going to have a great time. The Training Ground Ministry is designed to train people and root them and ground them in the Word of God and prepare them so that they may minister the Word of God in the gift that God has given to you. We want you to operate in that gift. And so we want to encourage you that if you have the ability to evangelize, to teach, to praise dance. If you have the ability to play an instrument, we want to give you an opportunity, and we want to let you know that your gift has room to grow right at the Training Ground Ministries. So we're excited, and we're just going to be going up a little higher in the Lord. We're going to be dealing with faith, finances, fitness, and also, one more time, faith, family, finances, and fitness. So those are the four areas that we're going to be dealing with at Training Ground Ministry. And we want you to know that you are all invited. You can come from the north, south, east, and west and come on over at 3625 Little Page. It's 3625 Little Page in Fort Worth, Texas, and the zip code is 76107. That's 76107. And we're just going to have a great time. Coming up on May the 3rd, in 2015, we will be opening the doors, and we're going to have a worship service there at that time. May the 2nd, the day before, we'll be having a Bible study there at 1 o'clock, and of course, you can come far, come near, and engage yourselves. We're going to have a great time in the Lord as we open up His Word and we begin to share His Word in a Bible study setting. Come with your questions. If you have questions that perhaps you have been studying the Word of God and you just didn't know how to do it, you don't know how to approach when you go and study the Word, I remember a time when I would pray and then I would just drop the Bible on the table and wherever it opened up, that's where I began to read. But I want you to know that God has a systematic way of understanding the Word, and we're going to share with you how to study and how to be able to find the things that you need in the Word of God. Tonight, we're going to be studying on the subject tonight, how do you sense the Spirit? How do you sense the Spirit? That's going to be our subject tonight. And before we get started, as always, we like to go to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy, your kindness, your love, your patience that you have afforded to us. And we are not worthy. We are not even able, dear Lord, to even stretch ourselves or boast on anything. All that we are or ever could become, it's because you gave us the power to become that thing. And so we're asking that you would allow the Holy Spirit to come and teach us tonight. Give us instructions. Give us wisdom. Help us to know what you would have us to understand for such a time as this, as we know that we are living in the last days, and it is incumbent upon us to study the Word of God and to grab hold of you and to press closer to you, because we know, dear Lord, the end is very near, and soon and very soon you're going to come. And you're not going to keep silent. Help us, dear Lord, to be prepared and ready to meet you when you come. And we invite you tonight to again teach us so that we might receive what you have in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, my friends. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in. If you will go quickly, we are dealing on with the subject, how do you sense the Spirit? And to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of those books that's, you know, every now and then we will go into that book, but not often you will hear many messages from the book of Nehemiah. But it's over there being if you go to Second Chronicles and then Ezra, and then you'll find Nehemiah in the book. It's in the Old Testament. And of course we are going to jump in at Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to look at starting at verse 1 and 2, and we're going to read a little bit. So I want you to grab your Bibles and something to write with, because it's very important that you will write down the text, and so that you can go back and further do some referencing and also taking that word and digesting it. So in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2, it says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." So the first thing that if you are going to have a sense of the Spirit of God, you must first be one who is willing to make preparations to study the Word of God. The Word of God is going to give you the foundational power that you're going to need, and the sensitivity to the Spirit to hear, because the Spirit of God is going to lead you back to the Word of God. If you are going to have a sense of the Spirit of God, you must have a heart for the Word of God, because when you are studying the Word of God, you are literally studying about Jesus, because Jesus is the Word, and he is the Word that was made flesh. He's the living Word, he's the written Word, and he is the audible Word. And the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself when he comes, but he will lift up Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit is going to lift up the Word of God. And if you are going to get a sense of the Spirit, you are going to have to be a student of the Word. And so if you jump down to verse 8 of this same chapter, it says, "So they read in the book and the law of God this, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." He gave the sense. He gave them he expounded upon this word in a way that they could understand and they find meaning in what he was saying. So much so, it says, and Nehemiah, which is the Tarshishtha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So after hearing the word of God, Nehemiah has instructed them along with Ezra the priest, and he says to them, look here, this is not a time for weeping and mourning, but this is a time for rejoicing and being glad. And I want you to understand, he says, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. That no matter what you're going through and no matter what you have experienced in your life, know this, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're going to renew your strength in the Lord, you must begin to hear the word of God. So the Levites still all the people, saying in verse 11, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. See, you can't stand in the presence of God and be grieved. You can't stand in the presence of God and not be in a spirit of rejoicing, because if this is going to allow you to gain some strength. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They understood the words that were declared unto them. I want you to know that the word of God will definitely prick your heart, and it will cause you to come into a mode oftentimes of repentance and confession. If you will go to the book of Hebrews, before you go there to Hebrews, I want you to jump to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9 in verses 1 through 3. And it says, now in the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read the book of the law of the Lord their God. 1/4 part of the day and another 1/4 part they confessed. And they worshiped the Lord their God. So part of their experience in reading the word of God, a portion of it was spent in confessing and worshiping God. So now if you're going to get a need in order for you to begin to have a sense of what the Spirit is going to say and say to you. So, first of all, you must get in the Word of God. And when you get into the Word of God, you'll discover that there are some things that God wants you to understand about His Word. And as you understand it, then you are going to make confessions of your sins where you have fallen short of the mark of God. You want to call upon God and tell Him, look, Lord, I'm sorry. I've done this wicked thing in your sight, and I want to confess my sins, and I want to forsake them. And so I'm asking for you to give me power to operate in your will and your purpose and in your plan. And then you'll find yourself, as you have allowed the burdens of sins to be lifted from you and transferred to the altar of God, you're going to experience a lightness. The heavy burdens that you've been carrying, the things that you have been weighed down by, when you release that to God, God says, and now you'll prepare to worship me. Amen. And so they worshiped the Lord, their God. When they had confessed their sin, they were in a position to worship. And the Spirit is seeking such to worship God. God wants us to worship Him, and so He is planning our victory. He is planning our victory for us, when we began to get into the Word of God, God wants us to know for a surety that He is going to bring you salvation. According to Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews the 5th chapter, here are some things that you want to come to understand about our Lord and our Savior, so that as you confess your sins and you forsake them, here's what you want to come to understand. In Hebrews chapter 5, and looking at verse 8, the word of the Lord says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Even Jesus had to obey the word of God. It was him finding his place in the word that made him to understand his will that God had for him in his purpose, and he began to operate in that purpose. Even at the age of 12 years old, Jesus understood his purpose. He said that I must be about my Father's business. And so here he says, the word says, that though he were a son, yet he learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So all of us who walk in obedience to God, he says that he is the author of eternal salvation. It is this salvation plan that God proposes to you and I so that we might be saved. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. God starts this thing and he wants to finish it in us, and if we will allow him to do the work of perfecting us in him, it is his perfection, it is his authorship. God wants us to get to a place where he writes his story in our heart. He writes the chapters of his word in our lives. So much so, the Bible tells us that you and I are living epistles, that men read your story, and they know that as they read your story, they'll learn about the story of Jesus Christ. And so it is in you and I that we represent the God of the universe. When we take hold of him, we actually represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so he says that when you come into obedience to him, you will begin to operate in this eternal salvation plan. And then he says he called of God, Christ was called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was a priest that didn't have a beginning nor an end. And so even Christ, who came through the line of the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Judah was not, they didn't have any priests in the tribe of Judah. The priesthood came through the Levitical priesthood. But the Levitical priesthood would come to an end. And so our priesthood could not be a priesthood that come to an end like that of the Levitical priesthood. So God changed the order. And he allowed the priesthood to come through Melchizedek. And so it's a priesthood that shall never end. And that's why he says that you and I are a royal priesthood, a holy people, a holy nation. Priesthood is no longer after the order of the Levitical priesthood, but that of Melchizedek. And so he says to you and I that having come into this royal priesthood lifestyle, then he says, of whom we have many things to say, verse 11, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. There's sometimes that we cannot sense the Spirit of God because our ears are dull of hearing. We've been hearing a whole lot of stuff in this world. We get caught up in watching television and feeding our brains, those types of things, and free feeding our minds with all kinds of garbage. You know, we get in social media and stuff like that, and we spend hours on social media, but we will not spend 1 hour in the Word of God. And that is where our minds become dull and our hearing becomes dull. We cannot hear oftentimes what the Spirit is saying because it's cluttered up by a whole lot of garbage. And so he says in verse 12, for the time ye ought to be teachers, Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And here Paul is saying that, look, you ought to be in a place that you ought to be teaching now. But because you have dulled your mind and dulled your ears of hearing, you cannot hear or sense the Spirit of God. And therefore, you have need now that somebody come back and teach you some of those early principles of the Word of God. You have gotten so to you've forgotten some of the Word of God. You cannot even begin to even catch hold of some of the basic things that are in the Word of God. And so he says that now you're back on this milk. You ought to be eating meat, but now you're drinking milk again. Can you imagine an adult who has been allowed to eat you know, adult food, and now all of a sudden he has to return to drinking milk? And so in the spiritual realm, God is saying that, look, you ought to be in a place where you're teaching. You ought to be in a place where you are able to deliver some strong meat. But verse 13 says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So he says, you're unskilled in the way of righteousness, or in the word of righteousness. See, the word is righteous. The word is holy. The word is pure because it represents Jesus. And every time you take hold of the word, you're taking hold of Jesus. You're taking hold of the written word. And when you begin to walk this thing out in the spirit, you begin to be the living word as it applies to Christ, so it applies to you. Christ wants to live inside of you and I so that we may carry and bear witness of the truth. And then verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And this is how you will begin to get a sense of the word of God, is because as through exercising yourself in abiding in the word of God, your mind begins to develop. Good and evil, you'll understand how to separate that which is evil and that which is good. You will begin to peek into things in the spirit that God will allow you to see, and he will reveal things that you perhaps have not known before. You will begin to understand the mysteries of the gospel and the mysteries of the word of God, and you will begin to uncover things that you have never seen before because you are sensitive to the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost wants to give you an ear so that you might hear the word of God. I want you to take this word and dig into it, because it is the power unto salvation. And to all of those who believe, it has an eternal hold of you. It will grab you and cover you and sanctify you and mold you and shape you after the will of the Father. And for you know it, you will be living this thing out clearly in the open. Men and women, boys and girls everywhere will take note that you have been with Jesus. And so I want you to go back to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and there is a very, very powerful pattern of thought here that I want you to grab from these words here. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah stood on Mount Carmel, and he had made a demonstration before all of the people and before all of the prophets of Baal. There was a contest on Mount Carmel to decide who was the true and the living God, and he called all of the people together, and they were like the folks in that was in Nehemiah, where they will all gather together in one place in the street. They were there, and these people were all gathered upon the Mount Carmel, and there they saw the power of God. And when Elijah had built the altar and put water up on it, he put the sacrifice on it, and God answered by fire and burned up the altar, the rocks, and all of the water that was in the trench was gone. But the prophet of Baal, who made an altar to Baal did not hear them, neither did he come to rescue them. But the God of Elijah spoke, and he heard him. And the people witnessed that God was speaking. Jezebel made a threat on the life of Elijah. And Elijah took off running. He took off running after such a demonstration of God. And I want you to know, my friends, sometimes if we're not careful, the fear of the enemy will come upon us, and it will cause us to flee. But I want you to understand that God has positioned you and I that if we would resist the devil, he says that he will flee from us. There is no reason whatsoever that the children of God should be fleeing the enemy, but rather that the enemy should be fleeing us. But now there is occasion where persecution, when you are persecuted, he says, now for the gospel's sake, sometimes you have to go into another city where somebody will hear the word of God. Keep it moving, because not every place people are going to receive your word. Everybody's not going to hear you, but there's going to be a time where you have to move on and go to those who are ripe, who are ready for the harvest. And so here, Elijah found himself running, and he ran so far away. In verse 7 of that chapter says, "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." The God had allowed Elijah to be fed by the angel, and the angel gave him some more food. And then in verse 8 it said, "And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb in the mount of God." Now, I don't know what the angel gave to Elijah, but I tell you, my friends, whatever it was, it sustained him for 40 days. Amen. 40 days did Elijah operate upon that which he had eaten. Jesus found himself 40 days in the wilderness, and he had nothing to eat for 40 days. But that's another subject. How do you sense the Spirit? And so in verse 10, God asks Elijah a question in verse 9 at the latter part. He says, "What dost thou hear, Elijah?" Elijah was found himself in a cave, and he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And so here Elijah was having his time where he was saying to God that, "Hey, look, this thing has gotten tough now, and they're trying to take my life. I'm the only prophet left." And so God gave him some instructions in verse 11 of 1 Kings 19. He says, "And stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still small voice." And this, my brothers and sisters, is where the Spirit will begin to speak to you. It's not in the great display of the the rocks being torn apart. It's not in the wind and the tempest of the storm. It's not in the earthquake, but it's in the still small voice. The Bible says that you will hear the voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And that's when you begin to become sensitive to the Spirit. Oftentimes, when you are about to do something wrong, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you will sense that what you are about to do is not right. Oh, my friends, we call that consciousness. But really, it is the Spirit of God that is pricking you and probing you and touching you and causing you to think about the thing that you are about to do, and that you will exercise good sense of reasoning to discern that which is good and evil. And so the Holy Ghost is trying to teach us something and speak to us while we can have the sensitivity to open up our ears to hear, lest we be like the children of Israel, whose ears had become dull of hearing, so they could not hear what the Spirit was saying. This is where we must come to the place where we understand that God is wanting to take us to another level in Him. It's the anointing of God's Spirit that will lead us to a place where we are willing to repent, where we are willing to confess, where we are willing to forsake all for the Master. And so in the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter, we find some very, very interesting subject matter that I want you also to look at. In Exodus chapter 33, and starting with verse number 12, Moses had been up in the mount, just like Elijah. You know, oftentimes God will cause you to come up to a higher place. Many times when you are in the crowd and you are around a whole lot of people, oftentimes you cannot sense the Spirit of God or the presence of God as the Spirit is trying to lead you. And so oftentimes God will cause you to come up a little higher to a place where you can hear from Him. And so that means that sometimes we have to separate ourselves, and that we have to, that if we're going to go up a little bit higher in God, He tells Him to come up to the mount. I want you to come up. Sometimes you have to climb up where God can be, to where God is, so that you can hear from Him. You got to climb up out of your selfishness, climb up out of your situation, climb up out of your discouragement, and climb up out of your despondency for looking at the things that are around you. So sometimes you have to climb up beyond the things that are so visible to your eyes that you cannot begin to see or even sense the presence of God in your life. The hand of God is upon you already. But sometimes you have to climb up out of that situation and get to the place where you can hear from God. And so here he tells Moses in verse 12, he says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, and that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." When you hear Moses has had an experience with God at the burning bush. He's seen God on the mountain and all of this, and yet all this was as if though that Moses is like, man, I haven't seen enough. I haven't experienced enough of the presence of God. I want more of this thing. And so, Lord, if I found some favor with you, if I found grace in your sight, then let me just experience a little more of what you have for me. And God is saying that, look, my presence is with you. Is it possible that sometimes the presence of God is with us, and yet we are not satisfied with the presence of God as it is? We want a little bit more. My friend, there's nothing wrong with wanting a little more than more of God. And it says in verse 16, it says, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." God, I sense your presence. I love bathing in your presence, but I want you to show me your glory. I've been on the mountain, and my face have shone bright with the glory, Shekinah glory of God, but that ain't enough, God. I want a little more of your glory, just a little more of your glory. Have you ever wanted just a little more of God in your life, a little more of his glory? Brothers, I want you to know that if you get in the Word of God and you get into the presence of God and you ask for him to show you his glory, you're going to connect with God in such a way that your spirit shall be wide open and it will be sensitive to the voice of God. And God is trying to speak to us even in this time. And verse 19 says, "And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." And so came to pass, and he said, "I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock." Oh, my friends, I tell you that God wants you to stand upon the rock. I want you to stand upon a strong foundation. And if you stand in this place upon this foundation, you will not be moved, because God is undergirding you, because he is the rock of our salvation. He is the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so in verse 22 it says, "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." And so it came to pass that God did exactly that. And verse 5 of 34, chapter 34, verse 5 says, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation." And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thy inheritance." God wants you and I to be a get into the presence of God. God wants you to be He wants you to be his son and his daughter. He wants you to be his children. And so he's calling on you to come up a little higher. Come up out of the things that you are in and allow me to let my glory pass before you. And if you will allow my glory to pass before you, you're going to experience such a deep revelation of who I am, that the power of God will attend your life in such a way that you will experience God on another level. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, God will take ordinary people whose hearts are sensitive to his spirit. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10, he took a man by the name of Saul, and he called Saul out. And Saul was anointed, and Samuel had gave him some instructions and told him some things that were going to happen to him. And so Samuel told him that he was going to find the donkeys that he was looking for, and that he was going to be a king and all of that. But he didn't tell nobody else. And so in verse 6 it says of chapter 10, "Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man." Do you know that God in verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man." Saul was about to experience God in a way that he has never experienced him before. And God tells him that you're going to be turned into another man. When the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, you will be turned into another person. You will not be the same old person that you used to be. God will cause you to be a new creation in him. And he says in verse 7, "And let it be when these signs are come unto thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee." So Saul understood that God was with him. And so in verse number 10, it says, "And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, 'What is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?'" My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, there's going to be a time when you begin to press in before God, that God will cause you to turn into another person, another woman, another man. You will begin to be so filled with the voice and the word of God that out of your mouth will come the word of God. You will prophetically speak words that you have never spoken before because of the utterances of God. God is going to lay hold of you, and the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you, and you will speak the prophetic word of God as it is in Christ Jesus. So Saul was among the prophets, and the people, when they saw him, they says, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish?" Brothers and sisters, there are going to be people who are going to ask this same question regarding you. What has come upon you that you are experiencing this type of thing that you are doing? And one of the same, in verse 12, "And one of the same place answered and said, 'But who is their father?' Therefore it became a proverb, 'Is Saul also among the prophets?' When he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place." And I want you to know that God is going to always pick you up to a higher place. If you experience God on that level and you think that's something, hold on to your seat, because you haven't began to exhaust the presence of God, you haven't began to exhaust the word of God, he will take you up to another higher place. Even after coming out of this thing and he's speaking prophetically and all of that, he came to a high place. I want you to know that God will take you to a higher place than you have ever been every time you get to that place and you think that you have arrived. Hold on to your seat, because God will take you another place that you have not been before. And I'm praying, my friends, my brothers and sisters, that you will hold on and that you will see the end of a thing that God wants to do on your behalf. So over in the book of John chapter 3, we're talking about sensing the Spirit of God. And of course, this is one of those texts that we have to explore, because it's one of these texts that is so often preached about and taught about, but it's so evidently true that if you are in association with the Spirit of God, and if you're going to begin to see and sense and hear what the Spirit is saying, this is what needs to take place in John chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In order for you to get a sense of the Spirit of God, you must be born of the Spirit. You've got to be a student of the Word. You got to prepare yourself, and this preparatory work comes as you engross yourself in the Word of God and immerse yourself in the Word so deeply that it would be as if though you have been baptized in the Word of God. John Baptist preached and he said, "There is going to come one. I truly baptized you in water, but there is going to come one after me who will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and that with fire." And so you are going to experience a fire as you are born of the Spirit. And when you are born of the Spirit, you must grow up into Christ. And as you grow in Christ, it means that you are growing in the Word of God. If you are not growing in the Word of God, you are going to continue to be a babe in Christ, and Christ would not have you to continue in the state of just being born again. He wants this birthing process to come to maturity where you will begin to exercise the gifts that God has given to you and begin to flow the thing that he has taught you, so that you might teach others and that the others who are being taught may receive of you what God has given to you, so that it may empower them also to become teachers and leaders in the body of Christ. He says that the harvest is ripe, but the labors are few. And so I just want to remind you that the Training Ground Ministries is designed to train people, train laborers who will labor in the vineyard of God to gather in the harvest of God. God's harvest is ripe and ready, but it's looking for you. It's looking for all of those who will name the name of Christ and who will repent of their sins and come running saying, "Lord, what must I do to be saved? I give you my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole soul." And he says, "Marvel not," in verse 7, "that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and it will blow really softly sometimes, and sometimes it will come as a rushing mighty wind. But the Holy Ghost will blow upon your life, and changes will come to you. There is going to be a creative work that is done in you, because the God that we serve begins to write upon your heart the tables of his word, the tables of his law. He says, this is my new covenant. I will write my laws within your inward parts, and all of you shall know me from the least to the greatest." And so here Moses had desired to know God and know him personally, And God says that, look, when you enter into covenant relationship with me, I will write my laws in your inward parts. In other words, I'm going to place my word upon the tables of your heart, upon the tables of your mind, on the tables of your life. You are going to receive this great anointing that I've got for you, and you're going to be changed into another person. You're not going to be the same individual. You're going to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, and you're going to have the fire of God in your life. God wants to save us. So in verse 14 he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When Jesus is lifted up, he'll draw men unto him. And God wants you and I to be those who will lift up Jesus. And when we lift up Jesus, boy, I tell you, people are going to experience a God on another level. In verse 19 of that chapter, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And so there are those who will come to the knowledge of the truth. There are those who will operate in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and will increase this light. And there are those who will draw back from Christ, and because their deeds are evil, and they love not the truth that they might be saved, this is what's going to happen, that these are going to be lost. They're going to remain in darkness. And God says that I haven't called you to remain in darkness, but I've called you to remain in the light. And so God is saying that the hour is coming in John chapter 4 and verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You're going to have a worship experience out of your mind and out of yourself. It's going to become a worship experience with God where it becomes a day-to-day thing. Have you ever began to love something so much that you look forward to it? This is what God is saying. I want you to get to the place where you delight to do my will. Jesus says, I delight to do the will. I delight to do the will of the Father. When serving God becomes a delight for you, it's not hard, it's not grievous, it's not a burden, it's not a problem, it's not an issue, because you are delighting yourself in the Lord. You are delighting yourself in doing the will of God. It's such a delight to you, you and your spirit. Your spirit man holds on to and gravitates to Christ on a day-to-day basis. You wake up in the morning with the joy of the Lord in your heart. You wake up in the morning delighting to do the will of God and trying to seek and to save that which is lost, because God has purposed and planned for you to be one of those who are a true worshiper of him. And so he says in verse 24 of John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. Truth must reside in your life. Truth must abide in your life. And it is the Spirit of God that brings forth the anointing of God upon your life. Over in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, Acts the first chapter, Jesus had promised his disciples that they were going to be receiving power to be witnesses. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You are going to experience God in such a way that as you get into the Word of God and the Spirit of God comes upon you, brothers and sisters, you're going to have power to be a witness. The two key words in verse 8 is that they were going to receive power to be a witness. God wants you to be eyewitnesses of his glory. He wants you to be eyewitnesses of his account, that God is in you, reconciling the world unto himself, that through Christ Jesus, the redemption and the reclaiming of souls back to God is the work of the body of Christ. You are a part of the ministry of God to bring and gather in souls. And it's going to happen because you have a compelling testimony. You have a compelling experience with God. You have witnessed and experienced God on a level that's so high that you cannot keep it to yourself. It's like fire that's shut up in your bones. You've got to tell somebody about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's incumbent upon you to do so. And so these disciples, when they heard the promise that Christ had made to them, they went on to the upper room and they began to do something. In verse 14, it says, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They was in prayer and supplication, and there is a difference between prayer and supplication. And so when you began to look at this word supplication, the key word is supply. And when you begin to understand supply, you understand that though I have nothing in my hand or nothing in my life, God says that I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. So as I stand as an empty vessel before a full fountain, God pours into me and he pours into you as we supplicate before him, as we present ourselves before him in prayer, and as we supplicate before him, we're saying, God, I don't have nothing. I am empty before you, but fill me up with everything that you have. And he says that I will supply you. And so he will supply it. And the women were there, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren, they were all there on one accord. And Jesus said that you are going to experience power, and you're going to be a witness. And so they was a witness on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all on one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. These brothers and sisters began to receive that anointing, that power from God, and they began to speak in the languages of the people everywhere, languages of people on the day of Pentecost, and they heard them speak in their tongue wherein they were born, and they were all amazed and wondered to themselves, saying, you know, what manner of thing is this? What's going on? How is these guys all Galileans, but we're hearing them speaking in our tongue wherein we were born? We know that they didn't learn this. They didn't go to school for this. But the Holy Ghost came upon them and gave them the ability to speak in the language of the people. And that was the power of God being manifested in their lives. And today, my friends, I want to just leave you with the thought that if you are going to hear and sense the Spirit of God and the presence of God, you must first get into the Word of God. You must confess and forsake your sins, and you must allow yourself to have an experience of worship before God and allow God to come on in to make you anew all over again. And when you are born again, he wants you to grow up in him and keep on growing, because as you keep on growing, he takes you higher and higher to one place, to the next place. And you're going to experience having the power to be a witness unto all nations. Everywhere you go, you'll be a witness. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to understand how much we need the Spirit of God, how much we need to sense the Spirit of God, and how much we need to stay in the Word of God, that we may go up higher and higher in you. and we will forget about ourselves, put self aside, let self die at the altar, and let the righteousness of Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who has eternal salvation, let him pour this upon us, that we might have the right to the tree of life, and that we may enter through the gates of the city, that we will rejoice forevermore as children of God who has made it in the kingdom. Help us to be kingdom builders so that others may come in too, that you will, that we will, for those who we have worked for and labor for, will also come to the kingdom as well. Father, I pray that you would bless all of those who have been listening, that your spirit fall afresh upon us all, that we may receive power to be a witness for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, my friends, and have a great night. Thank you for tuning in, and we will continue to pray as we go higher and higher in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a great night.